A very good morning. A leader, all of us are leaders if you're part of CBMC in some capacity or the other. Some of us lead a group of 10, some maybe hundreds or thousands, but we are all in the purpose of leading people. A leader is also called to be a servant leader. He has to be an epitome of humility. A leader also transforms his team. He takes his team from a point A to a point B, from down here to up there. A leader also sets rules for his team to follow. Some of the best leaders are also prolific writers. Let me introduce you to one of the greatest leaders from the Bible, Moses. He led 21 lakh people. Imagine that. We have difficulty with our small groups of 5, 10, 100 people. There was a man who led 21 lakh grumbling people. The Bible says he was the humblest person on the face of the earth. He led them from slavery in Egypt to God's promised land. He had a set of rules. The Mosaic Law is there till today. 3,500 years have gone by, and it still stands today. Moses also, even amidst all this busyness, he had the time to write what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. This Moses that I just spoke about transformed into this role only in the last 40 years of his life. If you divide Moses' life to three compartments, 0 to 40, 40 to 80, and 80 to 120, you will see a different Moses in every stage of his life. You can go ahead and type in the chat what you think Moses was in his first 40 years. What defined Moses? Moses was born at a time of hostility. He was born at a time when the Pharaoh had commanded that every Jewish male boy is put to death and thrown into the River Nile, a very hostile environment. His mother was able to protect him for 3 months, but that's it. She couldn't keep him any longer. And so she puts him in a basket on the River Nile. And God so beautifully orchestrates this princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, looks at this basket, pulls out Moses from the river, and adopts him as his own, as her own. He becomes a prince. It is said that during that time, Egypt would have probably had the best university in the world. The Alexandria Library was the best library with the top scholars of the world. You can't take the Egyptians lightly. Even then, they were masters in astronomy. While the rest of the world thought that the earth is still a flat surface. It was the Egyptians back then itself who discovered the earth is round. They even calculated the distance of the sun from the earth. They were also very artistic. The vibrant colors that you see in Egypt have lasted 4,000 years. Just imagine. Today we need to paint our houses every 4 years. They were also great chemists. Why I say that is they could embalm a body and it's even lasted and stood the test of time till today. So here was Moses, educated. Moses, the prince, probably in line to become the next Pharaoh. And then during this time of education, he realizes that he's a Hebrew. And he goes out to see what his fellow Hebrews are going through. And he sees a slave driver harassing one of his fellow brothers. Moses believes that he is the man for this purpose, for his people to be the deliverer. He looks to the left and to the right. When he sees no one, he strikes the slave driver and kills him. Moses becomes a murderer. Moses, a raw, aggressive, and brash leader, thinks he can do everything on his own. He soon realizes that the whole of Egypt knows what he's done and flees for his life. That was Moses from years 0 to 40. From 40 to 80, he was a very broken man, a fugitive on the run. He was humbled from a prince to a shepherd. Here he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, aimless in the desert. He had a mundane life, no purpose at all. The Bible says that he was content to live with his father-in-law. It became a routine. Moses would have thought his life is over. And that is when he has an encounter with God. It was a life-transforming experience. It changed, it altered the trajectory of Moses' life. I believe that you and I also need such an encounter to become a leader of purpose, to be a Christ-like leader. We all need that burning bush experience. We all need the burning bush experience. What I'm going to tell you is taken from Exodus chapter 3 and 4. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me, you could turn to Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Here was Moses. Moses had given up on life, but God never gives up on us. He was tending to his sheep, and he suddenly sees a bush burning with fire, but not consumed. It was burning, but not consumed. And out of the fire, God called Moses from the bush. Moses, Moses. You know, God's nature is love. It is God's nature to come after us. He stands at the door and knocks. God is calling to you and I by name. What is our response? God's calling us. And then God gives Moses a purpose. He says, I have seen the oppression of my people under the Egyptians. I know their sorrows, and I want to deliver them. I want to bring them out of Egypt to the promised land. Remember, God has a purpose for each of our lives. God has a purpose for yours and mine. Moses immediately says, who am I? Who am I? I'm like an outcast. I'm a fugitive on the run. I'm a humble shepherd. Who am I? And then God says, I am with you. You are not alone. God even goes on to say, when you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God in this mountain. I will be with you. You know, God is exactly who you need at your point of need. Moses then asks, who shall I say sent me? What should I say your name is? And God says, tell them I am sent you. Not I was, I am. God is beyond time. God is beyond space. God is beyond matter. God is beyond our circumstances. God is our healer when we need healing. God is our Prince of Peace at times when we feel like there's no peace around us. God is our provider. God is our King of Kings. When we see oppression all over us, maybe there's somebody oppressing you, Remember, God is beyond that situation. God is the King of Kings. He is. God is your friend. Even if everybody deserts you, God is your friend. God is your Savior. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. God, the great I Am, is exactly who you and I need at our point of need. But still God says, it won't be easy. Even if I am with you, you are not alone, it will still not be easy. Pharaoh will not let you go. Circumstances are not going to be much different. In chapter 3, verse 19, it says, God says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. But Moses still questions. He says, what if they don't believe me? What if they say the Lord did not appear to you? What if they think that I'm lying? In chapter 4, God beautifully gives Moses 3 signs. He first says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses says, he has a rod. And God asks him to cast it on the ground. Moses immediately throws it on the ground and becomes a serpent. Moses tries to run away. God again calls him back and says, take it by its tail, and became a rod again. Another sign that God gave was, he said, once you're in Egypt and you draw water from the river Nile and you put it on dry land, it will turn to blood. You know, through both these signs, God demonstrates that he will use what we have as his instruments. He does not need anything else. He can use what we have. He can use our business as it is. He can use our family as it is. He can use our talents as it is. But the most definitive sign, I would say, is this. God says, put your hand in your bosom. And Moses immediately does that. He puts his hand into his bosom and he takes it out. It was leprous, the worst form of skin disease one can have. I believe it represents sin. That is what is there in our hearts. The worst form of disease, sin. But then God says, put your hand back. We need to come into a realization that we're all sinners. Put your hand back. I can do something special for you. And then Moses puts his hand back into his bosom and he takes it out and it is clean. God says, I can clean your heart for you. I can clean your life. The most definitive point of the burning bush experience, I believe, is the experience of a surrendered heart, a change in heart. When we say, God, I am a sinner. I believe in you. Please come into my heart. Come into my life. When we say, create in me a heart, O God, and renew my spirit. And God can clean it up for us. The greatest sign is a changed you. Have you had your burning bush experience, my friends? Some of us may have already had that experience where we've committed our lives to Christ. But over a period of time, we still complain, right? And that's what Moses does. He says, even after this beautiful experience, he says, God, I am not eloquent. Moses tries to say, God, I don't want to do it. Please find somebody else. And it's so beautiful what God says. He says, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? It is interesting that God says that he makes the mute, the deaf, and the blind. So whatever you think your handicap is, God has made you that way. That's because he wants you to put your complete trust in him and not on yourself. We see that, right? When Moses put his trust in himself as a 40-year-old, where it got him. And now, after this transforming experience, when he puts his trust in God, where it's going to take him. Then God says, therefore go, I will be your mouth, and I'll teach you what you should say. You know, everything works together for good to them that love God. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever your handicap is, whatever you have, whatever you are, when we just surrender to God, he is going to work that together for good and use you for his purpose. Moses still complains. He says, oh Lord, please send somebody else, another person to help. God still does not give up on Moses. He sends Aaron and he says, I will be with your mouth and with Aaron's mouth. And we know the rest is history. And I believe this burning bush experience was the definitive turning point in Moses' life. Let me summarize all that I just covered. Please remember, God is calling you just as you are. It is not too late in your life. It is not too early. God is calling you even right now. You know, soon after Adam sinned, it was God who came to the garden and said, where are you, Adam? Even here, God is calling Moses. We see all throughout history, God comes after us. That's the exact reason why Jesus came into the world, to come after us. God has a purpose for your life. Have you found your purpose? Is your purpose aligning with his? Remember, you're not alone. You're in this journey with God. And God is exactly who you need. God needs you, and God can use you and what you have as his instruments. Can we surrender our lives? If we've already surrendered our lives and we're making excuses, shall we say sorry to God and resurrender and rededicate our lives to him? Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for your word that we received this morning. Thank you that you're a God who comes after us. Thank you that you define love. Thank you that you're the complete embodiment of love. Father, thank you that, Lord, you've not given up on us. You still reach out to us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth as a human being, taking the very nature of man, even going to death on the cross for us. Thank you for taking that punishment. Thank you, Lord, that you rose again from the dead and you're there interceding for us. Father, we just want to surrender our lives to you. Accept that we are sinners. Lord, please create in us a new heart. Lord, we want to live, change lives. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you use us just as we are, with all our faults, with all our failures. You use our instruments. So, Lord, we want to surrender all that we have, ourselves, our families, our businesses. May it all be used for your glory, Father. Father, we're sorry about the times we've grumbled, we've complained. Lord, please forgive us. And Lord, please help us to live lives that are pleasing to you. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise as we commit the rest of this week into your hands. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.